Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast.
Many of you are aware that there are a number of like renovation TV shows out there, right? Some of you think they are the best things going. Some of you hate them with a passion, right? Am I right? And it seems like, regardless of the show that you're watching, the typical scenario is they hunt for a house, they find a house, they're starting a project, they've got this budget, it's like $3 million to renovate their kitchen or something foolish like that, right? They go in, the experts are like, yeah, we can do this, and we'll model this, and we'll bring this thing in, all this stuff, right? And then they get into the project, and they're halfway through the project, and what happens? Disaster strikes. Oh, we didn't know that you had termites. Oh, you've got black mold. Oh, they use stucco. Like, you've got lead-lined pipes. And, like, it's this massive thing that everyone goes, oh, no, our budget's through the roof. Well, the reality is, like, the shows make it overly dramatic. But in my life, that kind of happens anyways. I start a project, I get into it, and then we're like, oh, what? Like, even just recently, like, we're changing the doors, front and back doors of my house, and it's like, yeah, okay, that one's 34, that one's 32, easy, we'll order doors. Nope. I had to order custom-sized doors that took the doors from being like $500 to $800. Like, it's just a door. But the way they built the house, no way, man. You can't. You've either got to build a new house or change the door. And sometimes there are projects that I've gotten into through the process of renovating our house where I've gone in and I've started to do something, and it's like, all right, we're going to change this, or we're going to change this, or I'm going to tackle this. And Heidi's sitting in the service here this morning, and she can attest to this. I have this incredible habit of starting a project when everything's already busy and thinking, this is going to be easy. I can smash this out in like a couple hours, and then we get into it a couple hours in, and everything's gone wrong. And then I'm at it for the next 8 hours. Has anyone else ever had that experience? You walk into it and you're doing the project, whether it's your house or you're working on your car or you're readjusting your finances or you're handling your toddler, and you're like, this is going to be easy. And then you get into it and it's just chaos. And everything seems to go wrong. And then you enter the stage of desperation where you either go, a little bit more time and I can fix this, or a little bit more money and I can fix this, or let me just the stores are closed, but I need this to work. And so if I take this piece and glue them together, that might do it. Has anybody done that, or am I the only crazy person in the room? Nobody else wants to admit. Okay, we've got a couple people that admit it. And it just gets worse and worse and worse, doesn't it? Now, some of you are in the room, and you're like, no, I know what I'm doing, and I say to you, but the rest of us understand this process of fixing things and renovating things, and it just doesn't seem to go our way, and it just costs more and more and more and more, and the more you try to fix it, it seems like the worse it gets, and then you find another problem and another problem and another problem. We all have aspirations and dreams for our lives, for our world. We want our families to be healthy. We want our families to be to be strong, and we want our kids to grow up independent and wise. We want them making good decisions. We want them to be able to make decisions on their own. We look at our world. We look at our country. We look at our continent. We look all around the world, and we wish that there was peace. We wish that there were people that always had food and always had clean water. We look at situations and we're like, why is everyone fighting over this stuff? We just wish that people would be kind and trusting, and that, like, we want to live in a world where you don't have to lock your doors, right? Like, that's what we really want. We want to live in a world that is safe and respectful and trustworthy, where we don't need to lock our doors, where we can buy something and you know it's not going to break in 3 seconds. Where we know we can go to the hospital and get good care right away and just we have these dreams for our world, don't we? But for some reason, those seem to just be dreams. We look at our world and people are trying, they're doing everything they can, but there's still all this pain, there's still all this conflict. We look at our kids and it feels like everything in the world is after our kids. Either depression or confusion or anxiety or fear or corruption. Like there are industries built around targeting and manipulating kids. You look at your family and you see that there are industries that are designed to corrupt and destroy your marriage. You look at our world and you see the corruption of government and of markets, and it just feels like things are getting more and more unsafe. Like the future is more and more unknown. You're afraid of always being scammed. Like you get a call. Like somebody called me the other day and said, "I just got a call from this number. What do you want?" And I'm like, "Sorry, bub, that wasn't me. Somebody had copied my number and called somebody from it." And like, we're constantly being scared of cheap, broken scam after scam after scam after scam. And the question that we end up with is, are those just dreams that we have and this is the reality that we're stuck with? Or is there a way to take our world back? Is there a way to take our jobs back, to take our country back, to take our finances back, to take our friendships back? Is there a way to get our world back? There's a passage in the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Now, this is a book in the Old Testament, and this book in the Old Testament is a record of the history of Israel during the time of the kings. And the books of 1 and 2 Kings, actually 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, all tell the story, the same historical period in Israel. But 1 and 2 Chronicles highlight a different aspect of that history, showing how their obedience or disobedience to God affected their outcomes. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, we have this situation where they have come together, Israel has come together, and they've built a temple for God. This special place where they are going to gather and worship and dedicate things to God. And as they're praying and as they're dedicating this stuff to God, God speaks. He responds to the people. And it's really, really interesting how he responds, because he responds with basically, "This temple's great. Thank you for this temple. When you screw it up, this is how I will respond." God's response to them dedicating the temple is to say, "This is good, but when you mess up, when you forget the dedication, when you forget the good things that you're supposed to be doing, when you forget why you're here and everything falls apart, When you get down the road and you have ignored me and you have ignored the commandments and you have ignored what you were put on earth to do, and everything starts to fall apart and other countries invade you and you start not even having profit from your own fields and your families are falling apart and people are dying and there's sickness and everything is this massive mess in your life, in your family's life, in your town's life, in your country's life, all around, when everything is totally screwed up. This is what it says. When that happens, starting in verse 13, it says, God is speaking to the people, "When I shut up the heavens so there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land." If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Paul says in his letter to the Romans, says this: "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew or Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." We get into these messes, renovating, fixing our cars, adjusting our finances, trying to change things in our lives, trying to do all these things on our own, and it seems to get worse and worse and worse. It gets more and more expensive. It gets messier and messier and messier. And the reality is that some of us in those particular circumstances need to just stop trying to fix it on our own and just call in the professional. Instead of messing with my house more and more and more and making it worse and jerry-rigging the thing so that it's going to cause a fire later on, probably what I should do is just call somebody that actually knows what they're doing. Instead of trying to change something on my car all by myself and mess it up that causes a car accident, maybe I should just call the professional that knows what he's doing. Instead of trying to deal with the home remedy with my kid and risking their health, maybe I should just call the professional and get them involved because they know what they're doing and they know how to actually treat the illness that my kid is facing. Sometimes in our lives, we are so proud, we are so stubborn, we think that we can figure it out, we don't want to admit to our wife or to our husband that we were wrong about it, we think that we can handle it, we think that just a little bit more money and we'll be there and we can figure it out, and we have this pride that says, I don't want to bother somebody else, I don't want to say that I was wrong, I don't want to fail, whatever it is. We enter into these problems that we try to fix and we try to fix and we try to fix, and it gets worse and worse and worse. And the reality is that we need to stop trying to do it on our own and get the professional involved. When we look at our dreams and our hopes for our families, for our communities, for our lives, for our world, the simple truth is that you cannot do it without Jesus. You cannot do it without Christ. Because it's when we have tried to do it without him that the mess has gotten worse. And when God responds to these people who are in the middle of this great celebration, things are going well, and he says, you know what? Someday you're going to screw this up. And when that happens, when life is a mess, I want you to remember that the solution to your problem isn't working harder, trying something different. Your solution is get me involved. Because you can't do it without him. The passage in 2 Chronicles says that we must humble ourselves. That means we need to admit that we are wrong. We need to be willing and actually ask for help. I don't know how many times I'm talking to people and trying to help them navigate problems, and I say, okay, well, you need to ask for help for that, and they go, that's so hard for me to do. We need to ask for help, and we need to stop making it all about us and how we feel about the situation and all about how it's going to affect my pride or my reputation or what I necessarily want for me in this moment. We need to humble ourselves. And we need to pray, we need to talk to God, we need to reach out to him, we need to be listening to him, we need to bring him our requests, we need to ask him, what do you want to say to us, God? And we need to be listening for what it is he is saying to us. We need to seek God, humble ourselves and pray and seek his face, watch for him, look out for him, see what he is up to, spend time in our lives where we're actually looking at the world around us and pausing. Instead of just barreling ahead and figuring out what do? We stop and we go, what is God up to here? What is he doing? What is it that he wants in this situation? And we need to see what he is doing, and we need to go after it. We need to spend time where we are putting ourselves in the situation where it helps us see him more clearly. We need to turn from our wicked ways. That means we need to give up our sins. We need to let God define what sin is in our lives instead of just us saying, well, I don't think this is good, so that's a sin, but this other thing I'm okay with. No, we need to let him define what sin is, and then we need to turn from those things, and we need to let God call us out, and we need to turn from that sin. Humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, and the result will be he will hear us. And he will heal our land. You want to see change in your workplace? It may not be a Christian workplace. It might not have anything to do with God. The people at your workplace may not want to have anything to do with God. But you want that environment to be different. You want that community to be different. You want your business to actually not be depressing and overwhelming. You need to humble yourself and pray and seek his face and turn from your wicked ways. And God has this incredible ability to take situations and people who don't even realize what's going on and what is happening in your life and how you are seeking him, and he is able to work and change things in your workplace, even if you're the only person there who is humbling themselves, seeking his face. You want you and your family to be free of addiction and to be filled with contentment, a peace that goes beyond circumstances. and where you can actually are so completely filled and content that you don't need the addictions to compensate. And you want your family to be in the same way, where they are filled and they are content and they are at peace and they're not driven to reach more and more and more that ends up causing more and more problems. You need to humble yourself, pray, seek His face, and turn from your wicked ways, because you can't do it without Jesus. If you want to see God become this contagious reality that spreads to you and to your family and to your coworkers and to our community and to the school next door, where there is more hope than there is depression, where there's more peace than there is chaos, where there's more unity instead of hatred. You can't do it without Christ. We need to humble ourselves, pray, seek His face, and turn from our wicked ways. And then He will come. He will hear us from heaven. He will come and He will heal. You want to see marriages changed. You want to see your kids changed. You want to see this world changed. I'm telling you, we have tried for thousands of years to renovate this world on our own, and it continues to get worse and worse and worse. And God has already spoken. He spoke thousands of years ago. He said, when that happens, this is what you need to do. You need to humble yourselves. You need to pray, seek My face, and turn from your wicked ways. And if you do that, healing will come. Change will come. Freedom will come. Meaning will come. Unity will come. Peace will come. But we have to accept that we can't do it without Jesus. We can't. The worship team is going to come back up here. And they're going to lead us in two or three more songs. And this is a key moment for us. I don't know if you're here and you're really struggling with your family, or you're really struggling at work, whether you are a follower of Jesus already, or if you're here and you're like, it seems like a good thing, I'm just checking this out, but I don't know. These next few moments are key for you to wrestle with this and for you to talk to God and respond to Him. Because I bet that He is stirring inside many of your hearts and telling you, hey, the solution to your family crisis, the solution to your finances, the solution to your marriage issues, the solution to your work issues, to your addictions, to your community and to the world around you isn't you just coming up with a new strategy or coming up with a new solution or coming up with whatever. It's not about jerry-rigging anything. It's Jesus. He's the one that does work that nobody else can do. You've got coworkers. You've got a work environment that is just totally messed up. That is not too big for God to fix. Your family seems like it is just headed in the wrong direction, and you have tried everything. That is not too big for Jesus to fix. But you need to call Him. For me as a pastor, I'm looking at this church and I'm looking at the church in Truro, and I'm thinking, How do I take it to the next step? What do I need to do next? How do I take a church of 40 down in Truro where there are all these other churches and they're all doing this stuff? How do I turn that around to bring life there? How do I grow that church so it doesn't collapse under its own weight? I need to humble myself and understand I can't fix that church. I can't take this church to the next stage. I can't lead my family and do all that and do it well. I need to humble myself and seek His face and pray and turn from any wicked way in my life if I want Him to come and heal. For some of you, that's about surrendering something that you've been holding on to. For others of you, that's you just need to spend time watching for Him. Others of you, it's a matter of humbling yourself and admitting that you can't do it on your own. For some of you here, it is about taking that first step to say, I need God to intervene here. I cannot do it on my own. And I need to take that first step and decide that I'm going to follow Him and let Him have control of my life. We need to humble ourselves and pray, seek His face, and turn from our wicked ways. And then He will heal. And then He will heal. Because we can't do it without Jesus.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.